Thank you, Jim. You got that pen? Okay, good. Good morning. The passage that Jim wrote, God somehow was dealing with me for a couple of weeks. And I just talked to Willie June. She's here somewhere. She was here, and she was telling that the Mexico team get to Mexico well. And they are there to get the hammer tomorrow, and will continue to do the work that have to be done. And we have to continue to pray for them. We've been praying that God may protect them as they go to do such a great job there. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning and asking that you may guide us through this passage. It's all your word, and you help us to understand your truth. We do pray in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Amen. Peter writes these second epistles to Christians, and the first thing he began to tell, he says, Simon Peter, a bound servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Some of your Bibles doesn't have bound servant, but mine, the New King James, does have. And it's amazing that I was thinking about the bound servant. Bound servant is that one that is totally sold out for Christ. Peter wanted to tell to those Christians that I am bound servant. I am sold out for Christ. I have surrendered myself completely to him. And I give all the authority to my Savior. Many years ago, I heard a preacher that was preaching and saying and asking the congregation, if really indeed we surrendered ourselves completely to God, if we give all the tools needed from all the chambers of our heart to Jesus, all the keys that he may get in each individual room, because in our hearts we have it rooms, and we have to allow God to penetrate deeply in our hearts and to cleanse us completely, purify, that we may be completely dedicated and consecrated for him. And the second thing that he is trying to defend himself, he says, I am an apostle of Christ. I am sent out to preach the gospel. I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ, representing nothing else but heaven. I am compelled to tell to others and speak about Jesus Christ. And then he is addressing to the Christians. Look at the following verse. In the verse 1 says, to those who have obtained likewise precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. He's addressing to the Christians, the one who've been saved. And he says to those who obtain likewise precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. You know, the Bible is telling us in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians in the chapter 5, and the verse 21 says this way, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become righteousness of God in him. What God did it? He took our sin upon himself and gave us his righteousness. that we, in the name of Jesus, be completely forgiven and righteous. And we justify ourselves before God, not because we are good, not because we are righteous, because we accepted the righteousness that He offered to us through the person of Jesus Christ. And then He's telling us about the two very important elements that God has given to us. And the first one is grace. He says, look in the verse second. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and the Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, God has given us grace. And many times we're asking ourselves, what is grace? Grace, somebody was interpreting this way. Grace is God's goodness that He bestowed upon us in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's goodness that God bestowed upon us in the name of Jesus Christ. God has poured upon us all the blessings. And Paul is writing in Corinthians, says, you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. God just opened the heavens upon us and given us all what we need. All the blessings came to us. And God shows up His grace and our salvation. Look at what's the verse that you know maybe by heart. In Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace you are saved, you've been saved through faith. And then says, and that is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of work, that no one should boast. God opened one door to him. And it's the only door that he opened, it's through faith. You know, people are trying to get to heaven because they think that there is many ways to get to heaven. There is only one way to get to heaven. God opens one door, and it is through faith in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why He opens the door, and Jesus claims, and He says in the Gospel of John, in the chapter 10, in the verse 9, says this way, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pastures. God, Jesus Christ, claims Himself that He is the door to heaven. And He says, I am the life, I am the truth, and I am the way. No one comes to my Father but just by me. The only way that God has opened to us through Him, through faith, that we may come in to enjoy these blessings that He has. And then the second step that He's telling us in this passage, He says, and peace be multiplied. You know, we all need peace. The world is speaking about peace, but they don't know what is peace. Because the peace begins with God. He is the one who brings peace. And He brings peace to our heart. And the first step that begins, it is with God. Look at what Paul has writes to the Romans. And he says in the chapter 5 and the verse 1 says, and therefore, having been justified, how? By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the number one step to God. Through faith, we begin to have peace with God because He is the Prince of Peace. The peace in our hearts begins with God. He's the one who brings that peace. And then the second step, it is the peace of God. You know, the problem that a lot of Christians are giving only the first step. They having only the peace of with God, but never experienced the peace of God. That is totally different. Look at what the Bible speaks about the peace of God. In Colossians chapter 3 and the verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you also were called in one body. And you know what? It says, and be thankful. That person that allows God, the peace of God that may rule, control our hearts. You know, our hearts many times get scared. You remember the time when Jesus was yet on this earth and he told to his disciples, he says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. You know what? In my Father's are many mansions. If it's not that way, I will tell you that I will go and prepare a place. And when I will go and prepare a place, you know what? I'm going to come back. And he promised that he's going to come back. And the church is still waiting till this day that Jesus is coming. Are you believe that Jesus is coming? Amen. Yeah, he's coming again. And he will take us to that place where he prepared. And you know what he says? And my Father's are many rooms, our mansions has been prepared for you there because he loves us. And that peace of God begin to rule in our hearts and guide us and sustain us even in troubles, in time of difficulties. The peace of God rules, controls our heart, assures us constantly, completely, that we belong to God, that we know that our names are written in the book of life. We know that we pass from death to life. We know that we are on the right path to heaven. And someday we'll be there enjoying that great life that he prepared for all those who love him. And then Paul is writing again to the Thessalonians, and he says, about the peace of God, and he says, now let God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and your whole, the spirit, soul, and the body, be present blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can imagine, we as sinners, it's coming a day that we will be completely blameless in the presence of God. And Jude is saying this way. He says, unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you without fault before his presence with exceedingly joy, unto God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory forever, now and forever. Amen. Unto God be the glory. He is the one who will keep us from stumbling. You know, there's a lot of potholes in the Christian life, isn't it? You're going to agree with me. But God is the only one who can keep us from stumbling. He is the one that can sustain us to walk on this path in which we are walking, that we may rejoice in the Lord. And then in Romans 16, maybe you know this passage, in the verse 20 it says, and the God of peace will come a day that will crush Satan under your feet. Gonna give you the victory. Only God. Without God, it's impossible to obtain victory over the devil. But only God is the one who gives us the victory over the evil. And he wants us to use all those tools that he's given us that we may glorify his name. Look at the verse 3. And the verse 3 says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us out by the glory and virtue. God has given us all the tools that we need. It says over here that has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God gave us the first thing that He gave us, a divine power. Divine power, look at what John is writing in his epistles. And the chapter 4, the verse 4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. The one who lives in you is greater. We can overcome the power of the darkness, not in our own, but with the power of God. Amen. And now already we have that power in us. And that's why Paul is telling in the 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verse 19 and 20 says this way, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for we all bought with a price, and therefore glorify God and your bodies, which are God's. You know where the way God made dwell the Holy Spirit in us, and our bodies became to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's where God resides. That's where God lives. You don't have to look for God somewhere else. He lives right in you. And you have to just call upon Him. And knowing that all the power has been given to you, that you may obtain the victory over the devil. And He says, glorify. Glorify God where? In your bodies, which are belong to God. Because you've been bought with a price. And you know, Peter is putting so well in the first epistle in the verse 8, chapter 1, in the verse 18 and 20, and 20, it says, knowing that you were redeemed, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. For your aimless conduct that you received from tradition from your fathers. But look at this. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and spot. With the precious blood of Christ, God has put the highest bid on you and me. He bought us with the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood that has been shed on the cross of Calvary to redeem us, to bring us back to God. You know, by creation, we belong to God. And now, because His Son, Jesus, came willingly to die on this earth, and He took our place that we may enjoy heaven, that we may be redeemed back for Him, because we've been hostage in the hand of our enemy, the devil himself. And God Himself have to come down and rescue us and brings us back to Himself, that we may rejoice in the Lord and be glad and give thanks for what He had done. And the verse 4 says this way, but by which have we been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through those we be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world through lust. But also for this reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to the virtue knowledge, and to the knowledge self-control, and to the self-control perseverance, and the perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly love, and to the brotherly love kindness, and to kindness love. And then he assures us in the verse 8 says, for if those things are yours and abound in you, you never will be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is telling us that God has poured everything upon us that we may live a victorious life that may God may be glorified through us, and says that he made us partakers with the divine nature, that we may escape the corruption of this world that is in the lust. The Holy Spirit, it's housed in us. The Holy Spirit, it lives in us. And we must always rely on that. And we have to know that our bodies became to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we have to glorify God and allow Him in our life. This world is trying to sell us lust, constantly bombarding us with the lust. And I will tell you, don't buy it. Look at what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and the verse 15 and 16. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's amazing. Did you read this verse? Look at it again. It says, do not love the world, not the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. God doesn't want us to love the world. And what the world gives, what the world offers to us, the next verse says this way, for all that is in the world, first of all, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, it's not the body. It's not our body. The lust of the flesh is the nature that lives inside in us. The word that we have in us, it's against the nature. Because the nature is the one who pulls us away from God. The nature is warring against the spirit. And that's why we have to stand up against the nature. It's not against our body. It is against the nature that is in us. Look at what Paul is writing in Romans 6 and the verse 12 says, and therefore do not let sin reign. Do not let sin reign where? In your mortal bodies, that you should obey the lust of it. Do not let the sin reign. And your mortal bodies, we are dead to sin. Did you ever been in the funeral? And then you just go to the casket and you begin to look on that person. And that person, it's not the person that you know. It's just the shell of that person that you know. The real person, what happened to the real person? It's gone completely. That body is dead. It's exactly what the Bible says, that we have to be dead to sin. Don't forget that we're crucified with Christ. Amen? And Paul says, and now the life that I live, I don't live on myself. I allow God to control that life in me. I allow the God to rule in my heart. I allow the God to reign in my heart and to allow me to glorify His name. Somebody says this way, anything that satisfies the flesh, it is the old nature. Anything that satisfies the flesh, it's old nature. And you know what? You and I, we're a new nature in Christ. Look at what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. All thing has been passed. And lo, the new thing began. All thing has been passed. All thing was left behind. Now I am living a new life that is in Christ Himself. And then the second thing that John is reminding us, and he says, the lust of eyes. Do you remember Eve? When she was in the garden, the devil came in such a way to her and says, has God indeed forbid you that you may not eat from every tree of the garden? And you know, Eve jumped out right away. He says, no, no, no. God just forbid us only. We can eat from all the fruits of the garden, except one. And you know what she says? And the one who is in the middle of the garden. She knew where was that tree. And the devil knew where was that tree. And then the first thing that he says to Eve, you know what? She says this way. She says, God said that we should not eat from that tree. And not touch it. God doesn't say touch it. He says just not eat it from the tree. She ate. Never ate anything. Because you're going to open the way for the devil. And that's what happened with Eve. And the Bible is speaking farther and says, when she came, she saw. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. It's amazing that the devil knows our taste. He will tempt us with something that we like. Something that tasted good. And then she's looking farther. He says, and then it was pleasant to the eyes. That it was attractive to the eyes. Was look nice. And farther says that the tree was desirable to make one wise. Don't forget that the devil told him, if you're going to eat it, what's going to happen? You will know the evil. You will know the good and the bad. And you will be like gods. You just will be like your creator. She coveted. And then the Bible says she took of the fruit and ate it. And her eyes been opened. I wish she never will do that. Because we're still reaping till our days. Over close to 6,000 years now already, because she was tempted and she leaned to the temptations. And then the third point that John is pointing, he says the pride of life. The world is offering the pride of life. You know, I could be, I could do it. And I could do it myself. And I know how to do it. You know, it's amazing to the kids when they grow up. We have a child, we have a grandchild that's one is 1 year old and the other one is 5. And any times that you want to go and do something for it, she screams and says, "Grandpa, I could do it myself. You don't have to help me." And you know, it's what happens with men. They are telling God, "You know what? I could do myself. I don't need your help. I know already, I know how to live. I could do it myself. I don't need God in my life." The pride that we do have. And Jeremiah says so clearly, and he says in chapter 9 and the verse 23 and 24 says this way, that the Lord said, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Not let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories in this, that he understands and know me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness on the earth, for all those things, and all those things I delight, says the Lord God. And anyone that is bold, let bold in the Lord." Amen. The glory and the honor and the blessings, it's for him. And Peter concludes, and this passage says in the verse 8, "For if those things that you have in you and abound, you will be never barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks those things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from all sins." And Peter is continuing, and he says in the verse 11, "And for so an entrance will be supplied to you in abundance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord in Jesus Christ." And the verse 12, he says, "You know what? I will keep on reminding you." We as Christians, we have to be reminded constantly. We're forgetting so easy. We forget what we hear last week. That's why we came this week again to be reminded. Amen? Reminded again because we forget. And we have to encourage one another. God builds us in one body. He baptized us with one spirit. And we have to grow together to edify it as a body of Christ, that God may be glorified in us and through us, and that others may be blessed. Because we have to take others with us to heaven. And that's why we must go out and obey in obedience to the word of God and win others for Christ. May the Lord help us, even in this week, that we may witness to somebody and share our faith and tell what God has done in me. Amen? Shall we stand for prayer? And then Kate will come with the last song. God, we want to give you thanks for such a blessed day that you gave us. Thank you for your word, and thank you that you keep on working in us and helping us to grow spiritually, and that all those things may abound in us, that your name may be glorified and exalted. We do pray all this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and bless you with the blessed hope that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the God of glory abide with you forever and ever. Amen.